Hey everyone, I am Michelle and this is Chris, and we co-host Daily News with Sean and AJ, your AI Advantage founders.
That's right.
Today is our day to host the show, and we are diving right into things as it's been an exciting day in the world of AI.
Yeah, definitely a lot going on.
Today's article was sourced from the AI Advantage newsletter.
Great source.
And this piece, it really highlighted kind of a fascinating strategic pivot happening over at Microsoft. You know, with their AI models.
It really did. It feels like they're shifting gears a bit.
Yeah, so we're going to explore their new partnership involving xAI, you know, Grok, and also the debut of their own surprisingly capable Phi models, these smaller ones.
The Phi series. Very interesting stuff there.
And then we'll look at the broader context, like questions around how we even evaluate AI, right? Mm-hmm. And this big debate about AI chip exports.
It all connects, really. Oh. These developments, all covered in the newsletter, they suggest a more competitive AI future. It's not just one or two big names anymore.
Okay, let's get right into that Microsoft news then. The big headline seems to be they're in advanced talks to host xAI's Grok model on Azure AI Foundry.
Right.
Can you maybe break down what Azure AI Foundry actually is and why putting Grok there is, you know, noteworthy?
Sure. So think of Azure AI Foundry as Microsoft's specialized cloud space. It's built specifically for companies that want to create and run their own advanced AI apps,
mm-hmm.
you know, chatbots, image generation, that kind of thing.
Gotcha. So a platform.
Exactly. And the significant part here is that Microsoft will host Grok within this environment, make it available to Azure users. But, and this is key, they won't be providing the compute power for training future versions of Grok.
Oh, okay. So they're providing the stage, but not necessarily building the next generation of the actor, so to speak.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
So why is this strategic for Microsoft right now? What's the thinking?
Well, it strongly suggests they're moving to diversify their AI offerings and critically lessen their dependence on OpenAI.
Right, because so much of their Copilot stuff runs on OpenAI models currently.
Exactly. Microsoft 365 Copilot, lots of their big AI features. By bringing Grok onto Azure, they're basically adding another option right within their own ecosystem.
Okay.
And the timing is interesting too, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
This news dropped basically the same day Microsoft unveiled their own new Phi reasoning models.
Oh, interesting connection.
Yeah, it almost positions Grok as, you know, just another choice for Azure users,
yeah,
potentially competing right alongside OpenAI services hosted there.
It's like offering different brands on the same supermarket shelf. And the newsletter even hinted this might, you know, open the door for OpenAI to look elsewhere for cloud partners.
That's the potential ripple effect. Yeah, it definitely signals a shift from that really tight, almost exclusive early collaboration. Microsoft showing they want more model independence. They don't want to be tied only to OpenAI, even though OpenAI is obviously hugely influential.
Makes sense. And speaking of Microsoft's own stuff, let's talk about these new Phi models, three of them, right? Designed for advanced reasoning, but with like limited computing resources. That sounds pretty smart.
It is. Microsoft's really pushing the idea that smaller AI models can actually achieve really impressive reasoning capabilities. Take Phi-4 reasoning. It's got 14 billion parameters.
And parameters are basically the connections that let it learn.
Sort of, yeah. The scale of its network, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, 14 billion sounds big, but compared to the largest models, it's not. Yet, it reportedly performs on par with much larger models on certain, you know, specific tests, benchmarks.
Okay.
Then there's Phi-4 mini reasoning, even smaller, 3.8 billion parameters. And that one apparently competes well with models twice its size, like 7 billion parameter models, especially in math. And it's designed to run on like phones or embedded systems.
Oh, wow. Okay. Sophisticated reasoning actually running on a phone, that could really change things, bring powerful AI to more people.
Exactly. That's the idea. These models are specifically aimed at edge devices and their new Copilot plus PCs. Bringing the AI processing right to the user, not always relying on the cloud.
Right.
Plus, they're making them fully open source and commercially usable. That's a big plus for developers and businesses who want to build on them.
So it really shows Microsoft isn't just looking outside for partners like xAI. They're heavily investing in their own in-house tech, too, especially these smaller, efficient models.
Absolutely. It just reinforces that whole theme.
Mm-hmm.
Reducing reliance on OpenAI, becoming more of a model-agnostic AI provider.
Okay, so Microsoft's clearly playing the field, strategically speaking, partnerships, internal development, but the newsletter also pointed out some broader challenges. Let's talk about this AI benchmarking controversy, the LArena study. Sounds like we need better ways to even score these AIs.
It definitely raises some some critical questions about how we actually measure what AI models can do. These benchmarks, they're like standardized tests, right? Used to compare different models on various tasks. Helps people understand strengths, weaknesses. But this recent report suggests El Marina, which is a really influential benchmark, might perhaps unintentionally favor the big tech players. Google, Meta, OpenAI.
How so? What's the concern?
The main concern is that these companies can test, you know, tons of private variations of their models internally, and then they only submit the absolute best performing ones to the public benchmark.
Ah, so they get lots of practice swings before the official one. The article mentioned Meta testing, what, like 27 versions of Llama 4?
Exactly. That's a huge amount of trial and error that isn't visible to everyone else, giving them potentially an unfair edge in the rankings.
Okay, that makes sense.
And the study also pointed out that OpenAI and Google accounted for like over 60% of the user interactions on the El Marina platform, which could mean they get more data to fine-tune their models specifically for those benchmark tasks.
So the test itself might be influencing the results, like teaching to the test.
Kind of, yeah. There's even a claim that just having access to the El Marina data could boost a model's score significantly, which raises concerns about overfitting, making the model great at the benchmark, but maybe not necessarily better at general real-world tasks.
And it sounds like open-source models might get the short end of the stick, phased out more often.
That was another finding reported, yes.
Yeah.
It suggests it might not be a completely level playing field if you're trying to get an objective comparison of all the different AI models out there.
So this really questions how reliable these leaderboards are. I know El Marina disputed the findings.
They did. They argue their leaderboard reflects genuine user preferences. But this research, coming from places like Cohere Labs, MIT, Stanford, it definitely adds a layer of skepticism, especially after that whole Llama 4 Maverick thing earlier.
Right, the version tuned specifically for benchmarks.
Exactly. It just makes you wonder how well these rankings really predict usefulness out in the wild.
It's super complex, getting an unbiased assessment. Okay, shifting gears again. The newsletter brought up another big debate, NVIDIA versus Anthropic on U.S. export controls for AI chips. This sounds like a major clash.
It really is. It highlights this inherent tension between national security worries and the push for super fast AI innovation.
So what are the positions?
Well, Anthropic, which has backing from Amazon, they support stricter export controls on the most advanced AI chips. They cite worries about this tech getting smuggled potentially to China, even using some pretty wild alleged methods.
Yeah, the newsletter mentioned prosthetic baby bumps and lobsters. Seriously.
Slight chuckle. Yeah, pretty memorable claims.
Yeah.
But NVIDIA is strongly pushing back. They basically dismiss these concerns as tall tales.
Okay.
NVIDIA argues the U.S. focus should be on fostering innovation, keeping markets open, not getting bogged down by sort of fear-based regulation. They also point out China has, like, half the world's AI researchers already.
And they warned about losing money too, right? Billions in revenue.
Yeah, a potential $5.5 billion hit if controls get too tight, they claim. So you've got this real split, security versus speed, safeguarding tech versus economic competitiveness and just raw innovation pace.
It sounds like a really, really tricky balance to find.
Absolutely. And this isn't just academic. It could genuinely impact who gets access to the best AI computing power. It could reshape the whole global AI competition. The newsletter even flagged May 15th as a date to watch, potentially significant for how this plays out.
Wow. It just underscores how high the stakes are, technologically, geopolitically. Okay, before we wrap up, the newsletter also had a quick roundup of some other AI news snippets, just to give a broader picture.
Yeah, just a few quick hits. Claude, the AI assistant, can now use external tools. They call them modular capability packs, MCPs. So it can integrate with things like Zapier, Jira, Intercom, makes it more practical for workflows.
Sure. Useful.
Google's AI mode in search is now live for all U.S. Labs users, so you'll see those AI summaries popping up more often.
Okay, I've seen those.
Suno, the AI music generator, put out V4.5. It can make longer tracks, handle genres better, improve prompting, some new audio features. Pretty cool for creative stuff.
Nice.
And Google also launched little language lessons using Gemini. Seems like a simple way for people to dip their toes into learning a new language with AI help.
So lots happening everywhere. Foundational models, user tools, creative applications, education.
It's moving fast on all fronts.
Definitely. So to kind of wrap up our deep dive today,
yeah.
It really feels like Microsoft is making some big strategic moves, aiming for a more diverse AI setup, not just relying on OpenAI, we see that with the Grok partnership and their own Phi model.
Right, spreading their bets, basically.
And at the same time, there are these fundamental questions being asked about how we even measure AI progress fairly, that Elmarina controversy,
Like a benchmarking challenge.
and then this crucial debate about export controls, balancing security needs with the drive to innovate faster than everyone else.
Exactly. These pieces, though they seem separate, they really paint a picture of the AI world getting more complex, more mature maybe. Lots of different models, different players, different strategies, all kind of jostling.
So here's something to think about, maybe for you listening. With a giant like Microsoft clearly pushing towards model independence, what does that mean long term for how fast AI evolves, for the choices you might have in the future?
Yeah, does more choice mean faster progress or just more confusion? It's a good question.
And also, given these doubts about benchmarks and the huge fight over export controls, what are the most important things we need to figure out to make sure AI develops responsibly but also keeps moving forward? Lots to chew on as this AI wave keeps rolling.